commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
It's great to be back in the saddle again after taking off for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice Thanksgiving Day.
The holidays get to be a blur, don't they?
They certainly do. Everybody, of course, all they want to do at Thanksgiving dinner is talk tech gifts. That's all they wanted to do, about technology.
I suspect we'll be talking about that a little bit today.
Oh, we certainly will. Everybody wants to know what is a good tech gift this year, and there are a lot of good ideas, but I'm only going to tell about the things that I like.
Of course. Well, you know, they got to have the Doc Shirt stamp of approval, right?
Exactly.
That's half of what this is all about.
Exactly. Today we're going to feature the man who is the CEO and co-founder of Snapchat. He, of course, turned down $4 billion from Facebook. No, $3 billion from Facebook and $4 billion from Google. And he has no revenue stream. So people are deciding, is this guy crazy or what?
This is a weird idea, isn't it? I mean, do you know much about Snapchat?
I don't. I've never downloaded the app. I do know about it, but I haven't been using it.
It's popular among, not to date us, but younger people.
Yeah, he calls it ephemeral communication, where you communicate in 10 seconds, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And actually, young people like this ephemeral communication because they just sort of banter back and forth. But then there's no record of their banter. It's just gone.
Right.
And so ephemeral communication, where it deletes in 10 seconds or so, is applied to images. But there's also applications for text where you just chat and then it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so young people tend to like this because some of their chat and posting of pictures have gotten them in trouble with the employers.
Right.
So they like it gone.
Gone.
We'll talk about Evan Spiegel. He's an interesting guy. And then, of course, we will review some of the tech gifts that I'm kind of interested in. And the dumb idea of the week, underwear for your smartphone.
So I've seen this and it's disgusting.
It is disgusting, but it would you say it qualifies for dumb idea of the week?
It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It is the dumb idea of the week.
Certainly this week.
And of course we got a huge mailbag.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Boom.
There we go.
Wait a minute. The bag said boom.
The bag said boom. Here we go. Let me get it again. I didn't get quite the bag up, so I was doing sound. Let me pull up the whole bag.
Better.
Okay, there we go. We got an email from Azra in Fredericksburg. Dear Tech Talk, I recently returned from Hajj and would like to see the dates on the pictures that I took with my iPhone. But I open up the iPhone, I can't see any dates at all. But I know there are date and time stamps on the pictures, but, you know, how can I see them?
Mm-hmm.
Love the show, Azra Khan in Fredericksburg. Well, Azra, images are stored in a special format called Exchangeable Image File Format, which is EXIF is the shorthand notation for that, EXIF. And it's a standard that specifies formats for images, sound, and it specifies an area for all these tags that can be used for pictures taken with digital cameras or smartphones. And, of course, these tags include date stamp, time stamp. They include GPS location. They include the shutter speed. They include the f-stop, the type of camera. There are just a lot of different fields in here. You can actually have a description of it, who the photographer was. They're probably 30, 40 or fields that you can have. And for some reason, Apple decided, really the user. That's much too technical for the user, so you don't really need to see that. You just need to see the pictures. So the iPhone will not display any of the EXIF data natively. Mm-hmm. But you can download applications to do it, and you can download a couple. Now you can buy applications, but I'm a believer in free applications. So if you only want to look at the date and time stamp, they have a picture which is photo date, which actually displays the actual date of the photo. Let me just look at my cell phone here, because I think I had a typo on my document here, but It was be photo date, yeah, and photo date. I had phone date.
Ah,
it's actually photo date.
It's photo date.
It's photo date. Now that's a free one, and that's really nice because you can open up photo date and you can give it access to all your pictures. We look at the picture, the date and time is just right at the bottom of it. Just very convenient, and you can scroll through your pictures, and the date and time is right there, displayed right at the bottom. Very convenient if that's all you want to know. But remember, I said there are a whole bunch of other fields in there. So if you really want to know what all the fields are using, I've got another application which I downloaded in my phone. It's also free, Koredoko. Koredoko. Okay. Koredoko. Or do you think that would be Koredoko? How would you put the syllable? What emphasis would you put on the syllable?
I think I'm going with the second pronunciation, looking at the
Koredoko.
Word.
Koredoko. Koredoko. It displays all the EXIF data, and what it does, it takes a small image, a thumbnail of your picture, and it puts it on top of a map, and it locates where the picture was taken. So it sort of uses the GPS data right away. But then you can right click on the photo, and it will just display, you know, all of the EXIF data right there, right on the iPhone. You can see it all for whatever you want to do. Now, actually, though, if you copy your photos to a PC, either to a Windows PC or an iMac, all that data copies with it, and you can get it. And what you do when you've got the picture displayed, you just right-click it, and a little menu will come up, and it says Properties. Click on Properties, and it will list all the EXIF data right there. So it's quite easy to use. Now, here's one warning. That GPS data is automatically put in any cell phone picture. So if you take, if you have GPS tracking allowed, have you allowed it with your camera application in the iPhone, and then you post that image to Facebook anonymously, people can actually get that GPS data. They can put that GPS data into Google Maps, mm-hmm. and they can tell within about 10 feet where you were standing where you took the picture.
Yikes.
So for these people that sitting at home taking selfies and thinking they're uploading them anonymously.
Not so.
Beware. Now, you can turn off the GPS data. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to say. On your PC, when you right-click on it and get Properties, at least on the Windows 7 application that I was looking at it with, there was an option that says Clear Personal Data. So you can actually clear all the personal data off of the off the image. So if you're going to take and upload an image that's got the GPS data on it, and you'll see the GPS data right there, basically make a copy of that image, and then open that, and then right-click on that when you've got it on a PC or an iMac, and then go down to the area where it says Clear Personal Data, and then you'll clear the data, and then upload it. This has actually been a problem, and I'll tell you, the military had a big problem because these guys, you know, when they were doing social media, the soldiers, they were out in the field, some secret location,
yeah,
and they were uploading pictures with GPS data
to the
web. So there was I think the military solved this problem, but right in the beginning of the Iraq War and when we were in Afghanistan, they did have a huge problem there with social media. So beware and warn your kids about this, too. We got an email from Carl Tyler. Dear Dr. Schertz, I don't know if you've covered this topic in past shows, but give us some information on the virus CryptoLocker. What is it? How's a computer infected by it? What do you do if you have it? And more importantly, how can you avoid it? Love the show, and especially love when David Byrd stops by and gives you an assignment.
Gives you an assignment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Carl, this is an excellent question. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on CryptoLocker because it's a serious Trojan, and it's out there, and really a complete, you know, to completely reverse the damage of it is really not possible, and so you've got to be very aware of it. CryptoLocker, it's a Trojan horse malware that surfaced late this year. It's just been out very recently. It's called ransomware. And it targets computers running Windows. So if you're running a Mac, you're okay. It's running Windows. And CryptoLocker attack comes from various sources. One, it's disguised as a legitimate email attachment. And when it's activated, the malware encrypts certain files stored on your local hard drive or on your mounted network drives using an RSA public key cryptography, with the private key stored only at the malware's control servers. The malware then displays a message which offers to decrypt the data if a payment, either through Bitcoin or a prepaid voucher, is made by a stated deadline, and says that the private key will be deleted and unavailable for recovery if the deadline passes. If the deadline is not met, the malware offers to decrypt data via, if the deadline is met, they offer to decrypt the data via an online service provided by the malware operators. Now, they like Bitcoin because payments in Bitcoin, of course, are anonymous. Now, you can actually go in and readily remove CryptoLocker. That's not a problem. You can get rid of it. There's virus protection. You can scan your computer. You can clear your computer of CryptoLocker. But the problem is, the files that were encrypted are not decrypted. They're left that way. And, you know, and of course, the experts say, whatever you do, don't pay any ransom to these guys because, you know, it just encourages them. But on the other hand, if you've got some critical data and they're using a very long key, it's very hard using a brute force technique to decrypt them. And so depending on the value of the data, I would make a decision as to whether I would pay the ransom or not.
Wow.
You know, I mean, this is the only one where I would say that, because this is actually a pretty clever deal. CryptoLocker also, now, this is why you want backups. You see, if you've backed up that file, you just delete the encrypted file and replace it.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another reason for having backups on your main hard drive. Now, many times people will run run in the background a shadow copy, Windows shadow copy in the background, and CryptoLocker attempts to turn off any Windows shadows copy so that it won't. You can't do that. Now, how this is actually how you actually get it? You actually get just an email that looks pretty innocuous. It looks like it's from a legitimate company, or it's uploaded from a computer that's already been infected by a botnet, and which is on your network. Now, normally, if you get the email method, there's a zip file that's attached, and it looks like a zip file, but it's an executable file with a .exe at the end. But it turns out that, see, Windows doesn't display the extension, so they make it look like it's a .zip, but really it's an executable file. And then if you click on it to open it up, it begins executing, and when you first run it, it installs the payload into Documents and Settings folder with a random name. It adds a key to the registry, and it runs on startup. Then it attempts to contact one of the several designated command and control servers. Once it connects with one of those servers, it then downloads a 2048-bit RSA key, and then it does the encryption. And so that's the whole mechanism. So I'm telling you, I don't open attachments. I get attachments that I don't know why I'm getting them. They're gone.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of emails, so I just really don't open attachments unless I'm quite certain. Now, the one good news in that the security vendor Kaspersky Labs reported that there is a DNS sinkhole that's been created to block some of the domain names used by CryptoLocker. Now, what a DNS sinkhole is, it means they have programmed the routers on the internet that if a particular domain is requested, it's directed improperly so it doesn't show up at the bad guy's server. So they don't. So you can't pull down that 2048-bit key, and then you won't do the encryption. So that was an attempt at some sort of global solution. Sorry for such a long explanation, but this actually is a problem.
And it's
complicated, but it's such a problem, and there's not really a clear solution here. I thought I should spend a little more time explaining it.
Good.
We got an email from Alice in Herndon. Dear Tech Talk, my computer has Norton antivirus installed and it has expired. I plan to switch to Windows Security Essentials. Now, my question is, can I activate Windows Security Essentials before Norton antivirus expires, or do I need to uninstall Norton first? How do I activate Windows Security, Microsoft Security Essentials? I'm running Windows 7 64-bit on an HP desktop. Thanks, Alice. Well, the short answer is yes, you should uninstall it. You see, you should uninstall the old antivirus always before installing a new antivirus. See, multiple antivirus programs, in fact, can come in conflict with each other when they're both installed. And if you leave both of them running at the same time, it slows your whole machine down because it's just double checking everything. So you really only want to run one. Now, if you uninstall, however, Norton, you want to make certain, because then you've got this moment when you're not really protected. So you want to be behind a firewall. So if you're behind a router, a router, that's basically functioning as a firewall, so you're protected from the internet. That's quite good. But I would also make certain that the firewall in your Windows machine is active, because you'll also have a software firewall in the Windows machine that you could turn on. Now, the reason I would do that, suppose you've got one of your kids has done some risky downloads and their machine happens to be infected. Just like we said in this previous thing, if they've got this CryptoLocker on their machine, it's going to try to infect all the other machines in the local network. So if you've got machines on your network that you don't trust, I would never disconnect your antivirus unless you had the software firewall in place. If you're the only machine on your local network, it really doesn't matter. But that was a very good question, and we liked your emails. So
we do, absolutely.
Send us emails to Stratford, or rather to techtalk@stratford.edu, techtalk@stratford.edu, and we will handle them on the air.
That is correct. It is Saturday morning, and we're back after the holidays. This is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, Profiles in IT. Next, stand by. More Tech Talk after this on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
It's time. Time to put your talents out there on your terms. Get full credit for your ideas and hard work, and set your own pay. If you're ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Masters in Entrepreneurial Management program can show you how to develop and launch your business. From writing a solid business plan to financing, legal issues, staffing, even branding and marketing. Let Stratford show you the ropes and walk you over the pitfalls of running your own business. Choose from online or in-classroom courses at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge. It's time. Time to take charge of your future on your own terms. Contact us today at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. or give us a call at 800-444-0804. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, it's time to be more.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to feature Evan Spiegel. Evan Spiegel is co-founder and CEO of Snapchat, the disappearing photo application. Now, Spiegel was born in 1990, pretty young.
Yep.
He was the oldest child of two lawyers, and he had a fairly privileged life while he was growing up. His father was a securities lawyer, earned around $3 million in 2006. They lived in a $2 million house in Pacific Palisades. They had luxury cars. They had memberships in all the right clubs. He had it pretty good. Evan and his two sisters attended Crossroads, a private prep school there in Santa Monica. Now, in the sixth grade, he got interested in computers. He had a computer instructor at school, and with his help, he built a computer from scratch. Later on in high school, he started developing simulators and video game emulators, and then he went into web design for his neighbors and other businesses. Now, he led a charmed existence until April of 2007, when his parents filed for divorce. Now, this is where most of this information comes from all the legal proceedings from the divorce case.
And he was 17 years old then.
He was 17 years old. And they split up. His father bought another house in the area close by in Pacific Palisades. And he decided to move in with his dad his senior year at Crossroads when he was 17. But, you know, Evan was kind of a big spender. He had his own car. He was racking up a lot of expenses. He was overdraft fees. He was basically out of control spending-wise. Finally, his father, in February 2008, he said, "Evan, we've got to talk. You've got to reel in your budget." And so Evan was spending about $2,000 a month just on stuff. And then he wanted another $2,000 a month for contingency fees from his father. And he said, "You know, I'm 17. And then his father said, "Well, you're going to have to, you know, ramp down your budget." And so he brought his expenses down to $4,000 a month. I mean, he's just a 17-year-old. And
wow.
And he says, "Now, but since I'm doing such a good job on the budget, I need a new car." because when he started driving, his dad gave him a Cadillac, a 2006 Cadillac to drive. But he says, "You know, come on, it's 2006 Cadillac, 2008, it's a Cadillac.
It's 2 years old.
Plus the Cadillac.
It's a Cadillac."
So he wanted, he said, "Look, Dad, I deserve a $75,000 BMW.
Of course. Yeah, why not?"
So his dad said, "No, that is where I draw the line." So Evan moved in with his mom.
Jeez.
And his mom gave him the car.
Oh, great.
So this was his sort of, so you can see he did have a very privileged childhood as he was growing up. Now, his dad was an alumni of Stanford. Both of his parents had been contributing or donors to Stanford. So his dad pulled a few strings and got him into Stanford. And he majored in product design. Mm-hmm. He was kind of entrepreneurial. Now, you see, guys that want to go in to start their new tech companies, you've got the code guys who sit there late at night writing code, and then you've got kind of the marketing guys who actually decide something that's useful for the marketplace and kind of design it. So the product design people are kind of the marketing folks, and they've got to team up with coders. Okay, that's how the whole thing at Stanford works. There's always a product design guy combined with a coding guy. Now, turns out that Evan, you know, he was kind of a friendly guy. He was able to make friends quickly. He joined a fraternity.
Plus, he had money and a nice car. That probably didn't hurt.
That was helpful. And so they put him in charge of the fraternity. He joined a fraternity and he became the social coordinator. He planned all the parties. And so one of the parties, there was a little bit too much alcohol, and there was some improper behavior.
Oh, that never happens.
Of some nature. And so
some nature.
And so they moved. They barred his fraternity from being on fraternity row, and they had to move the fraternity off campus. This is while he was like in charge. This is like while he was party coordinator.
Party coordinator. Put that on your resume.
That's right. Now, he really was interested in getting involved. You know, they bring all these entrepreneurs in. So he met Scott Cook while he was at Stanford. He was coming in. Scott was, I think, teaching a course there or coming in and giving a guest lecture. He was CEO of Intuit. And so Cook took an interest in Spiegel. He's a nice guy, talkative, you know, very ambitious. So he gave him an opportunity to work on a platform that Intuit was working on for use in India. So he started working on that, kind of got a feel for how you develop products. And then while he was doing that, sort of the idea of Snapchat came along as he was having a discussion at the fraternity about sexting.
Great.
This is how it all started. This was he's talking about ephemeral communication. Mm-hmm. This is a new buzzword for that, ephemeral communication. That it's self-destructive.
It's self-destruct. But I'll hold my comment to the end. It's more of a question.
It turned out that Reggie Brown was a friend of Spiegel since the freshman year. And Reggie and Evan were living in Kimball Hall in spring of 2011, and they were sitting talking about, you know, this idea, you know, you send out this text message or this, you know, this picture that's, you know, compromising because you're doing whatever you want to do, and then it just stays on the other person's phone forever, mm-hmm. and they could upload it to Facebook. They said, wouldn't it be great if it just, like, go away, gone. And so they Reggie Brown kind of, you know, I think Reggie was the guy that came up with the idea, and then Evan said, yeah, you know, that would be pretty good, you know, especially we have a big fraternity party, we can share pictures, but then the next day they're all gone, and they're not posted to Facebook, no employer is going to see it. That's a great idea. Now, when this idea came along for this temporary picture, Spiegel had already been working with an older fraternity brother, Bobby Murphy. Now, Bobby Murphy was a code writer, a coder. So Bob Murphy, Evan Spiegel were the product designer and the coder. That was the team. That's all that was needed. But they'd had several failed ideas, failed startup ideas, and you know, nothing was coming along. They said, we've got to get something going. All of a sudden, bingo. This idea that Reggie Brown came up with for the disappearing photo, he said, yeah, that's good. So Spiegel and Brown, and so Spiegel and Reggie Brown, they said, well, we should start a company. And then Spiegel said, well, why don't we bring in my buddy Murphy, who I've been working with, Bobby Murphy. Let's bring in Bobby, and he'll write the code for this thing, and we can get this thing going. And so they wrote their initial application, which they called Peekaboo.
That's a great name for it.
That's
actually
a great name. Peekaboo, gone.
I actually kind of like that better than Snapchat.
I like Peekaboo better. Peekaboo, here I'm here now I'm gone.
Yeah,
Peekaboo.
Exactly.
So actually, that was not a bad name. But they wrote the code for this. Now remember, they got the idea in the spring of 2011, and then by July of 2011, you know, code was written. Bobby Murphy wrote the code. They launched it. And then, Reggie Brown, you know, graduated, so he went back to South Carolina. And, you know, and he figured, okay, the three of us started this, I'll probably have a third of the company, no problem. But when he left and went home, Spiegel and Murphy cut Reggie Brown out.
Oh,
they said, well, you know, Reggie's not here anymore. You know, there's no contract. Now,
great.
I mean, and so Brown wanted, he said, okay, I want 30% of the company, and he threatened litigation, and they said, there's no way you're going to get that. They, Spiegel and Murphy changed all the passwords on the, and accounts on the servers. Then they changed the name of the company from Peekaboo to Snapchat.
That explains that.
So There's no peekaboo.
No,
it's Snapchat.
What are you talking about?
There's no peekaboo,
dude. What's your problem?
Yeah, be you got Snapchat. You know, we got it.
They have a Snapchat name. It
was there
for 10 seconds. So it went away.
So this sounds a lot like the Facebook deal with Zuckerberg and the Winklevoss twins.
Yeah,
the Winklevoss twins.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember their name. That, by the way, the Winklevoss, they invested in Bitcoin. They're big Bitcoin investors.
No kidding.
They're speculating on Bitcoin. They're trying to. This really is. This has got nothing to do with it. Why don't I come back to that?
Bitcoin is a whole nother thing that we. Yeah.
You know what that's called? It's a brain burp.
Yeah, it's another word for that.
Yeah.
The one on the radio is a brain burp.
This is radio.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be the professional here. I'm sorry.
Let's get back to profile. So now we went from peekaboo to Snapchat. Now the whole Snapchat infrastructure, they put it on the Google Cloud, and so whenever you upload a picture with Snapchat, it's stored on the Google Cloud until it's looked at, and then it's deleted. So the picture never is actually stored on your device. It's just temporarily displayed, and then it's gone. Now it turned out that in January 2012. Now remember, they launched it in July of 2011, and then in January 2012, the downloads of Snapchat just spiked. They just shot up, and this thing was just like it was on fire. And Spiegel theorizes that it began to take off after teenagers received their iPhones with front-facing cameras.
Right.
Which makes it easier to take a selfie.
Sure. Because you can see what you're doing now.
That's right. Because
right?
if it's a rear-facing camera, you take the picture, but you can't see it until you take it. And so he thought this was the whole reason that it took off. And it just started taking out. By February of 2012, Spiegel and Murphy had 40,000 users. Brown has no users. He's been cut out. Now, that lawsuit is still going on, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clear whether he'll win it or not. Because they said if you just throw out an idea, once you throw it out in public, it's just there. And other people could pick it up if you don't have any kind of contract in place. I think they should give him something.
Of course they should.
I just think it's not right.
And from the way you describe it, it sounds like I think any judge that takes a look at that is probably going to say the same thing, that he deserves something.
But I started looking at the looking at sort of the legal things on these things, and like a lot of people just say, hey, wouldn't it be great if we could make a car on stilts? Somebody just says that.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out, and then somebody goes and builds it. Well, the guy that was just like saying it, he doesn't necessarily have a part of the company, you see, unless you go to the trouble of filing a patent, showing feasibility, and doing something other than just by throwing out an idea. So
that's called an ephemeral idea, right?
Yeah.
It's
so
out
they,
there in 10 seconds.
So this will be an interesting legal case to follow. I do think he deserves something for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in February 2012, Spiegel and Murphy had 40,000 users, and they were like, they were sitting here, they're getting more user space using this bandwidth. I mean, they were maxing out their credit cards on this thing. He's probably maxing out his dad's credit card.
Right, exactly.
I'm thinking he was maxing out his dad's credit card.
He's not making any money doing
That's
anything.
That's right. So they got Lightspeed Venture Partners to give them $485,000 as sort of early seed money for this. They got that in May 2012. Then by March, April, May, June 2013, which had been 13 months later, in June 2013, they raised $60 million of funding on a valuation of $800
million. How do you?
So they,
I don't know.
And it's making no money yet, but they're projecting that somehow it's going to make money. Then in December of 2013, which is just this month, They raised $55 million on a $2 billion valuation, and they got that $2 billion valuation right after they had turned down offers from Facebook for $3 billion and from Google for $4 billion. So they could have gotten cash for this thing. Now, Spiegel likes to call his app ephemeral messaging. He gets mad when you say sexting because he says it's
that's really what this thing is used for.
It's more than that. Actually, he does have a point that this whole thing of ephemeral messaging, women use it a lot when they're just chatting back and forth with their girlfriends about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like inconsequential things that you just want them to go away.
Gossip.
Yeah, and so this idea, like if you're just talking to somebody in a normal, nobody's recording the conversation, and what you said to your girlfriends over lunch is not logged somewhere to be uploaded to Facebook. And so this ephemeral communication has become very popular with the younger set because it's quick communication with no history. And so it started out as sexting, but it's gone way beyond that. And they believe now that this ephemeral communication is going to be the next thing that replaces Facebook. You see?
Gotcha. And well, that sort of answers, well, that's not really, that's a third question.
And I think Facebook is losing users, young users.
Oh, yeah.
The very users that
they should be cultivating,
that Snapchat is getting. And so Facebook thought this would be a great strategic purchase. I think Google thought it was a great strategic purpose on its own. Now the problem is it's not making any money. And if you start putting, where's the ad going to go? The picture goes away in 10 seconds.
Right.
There's nothing there. And you've got no repeat. Now, I think a few months ago, they actually transferred 350 million, images. So they're transmitting more images than even Facebook. So their volume is just like skyrocketing. So it's an interesting thing. So there's one group of people that think that Evan Spiegel is got rocks in his head for not taking that offer because he's never going to get that value out of it. He believes that he's on to the next big thing, ephemeral messaging,
mm-hmm.
and that it's bigger than just disappearing text. So he thinks it's the next Facebook.
Okay, question one. Is anything really ephemeral in the cyber world? I mean, does this really go away and there's no...
I would think that because it's displayed on your iPhone, I believe that I could write an app that would capture it before mm-hmm. it goes away.
Well, you could also, if you were having somebody devious here.
You could photograph it.
You could save it. Mm-hmm. And you've got some sort of damaging information on your phone or your iPad that you could use against somebody at some point.
You could have another iPhone and just photograph your
take a screenshot of it.
Take a screenshot of it. Oh, yeah, you could just take a screenshot of it.
Just take a screenshot of it.
So, okay. I don't know.
But truly, really, seriously, there is the server is wiped clean after 10 seconds. There is no evidence of this.
I don't know.
But that's
I actually think there is evidence.
It's got to be.
Because you can't
get rid of anything these days.
I would think there would be some. So getting totally cleared would be an issue. So the key is, should have he accepted it? Now, many believe that he's had such a charmed childhood and privileged childhood that he just feels like this is going to turn to something really big,
mm-hmm.
and that he doesn't have a clear view of reality, and that he should have taken the money.
Mm-hmm.
Others believe, well, maybe this is the next
big
movement
thing
in terms of ephemeral messaging. That's why I wanted to make that point, because at first I thought it was all just this sexting thing, and I said, how can that be? And the thing is, it's mostly used by women, and they're not, and with other women, so they're not using it for sexting. They're using it for, did you see this? This thing that I'm having for lunch today. This mm-hmm. is a great.
So it's now crossed from kids to women who are older, not necessarily old, but not teenagers.
They're probably 20s, teens and 20s. Yeah, probably. Especially everybody under 30.
Okay, all right. So my point here is that if it's basically teens and early 20s, people who don't have any money, how does he make money off of this at some point? I mean, that's...
It's going to have to be ads. And so the thing is, he's going to have to get a whole ad delivery system. And there are many people that think if you start loading up that 10-second image with 5 seconds of ads, it's going to kill it.
Yeah.
And so it's not really clear. But I do have to report on his graduation. He left school. He left Stanford a few credits shy of graduating when he went full-time with Snapchat. But I was reading a recent update, and it said that he completed those few classes. So now he's actually a Stanford grad.
Well, that's good.
His dad should be happy. Now, the company, it's got just fewer than 50 people in it, and it's in a bungalow in Venice Beach, California. Have you ever been to Venice Beach?
I've never been to Venice Beach.
Venice Beach, California. Yeah, that's
right on the beach. Yeah, well, that's why it's called Venice Beach.
It's Venice Beach. It's right on the beach. One of the old traditional. It's a fairly easy going town. Pretty much anything goes there.
Gotcha.
So I could see where Snapchat would fit in. The other thing that's interesting is Evan Spiegel started this down around the L.A. area. Not Silicon Valley. And he said he doesn't like the Silicon Valley guys because you got a bunch of techies always trying to invent new applications. He said down around L.A., people aren't so – there aren't a bunch of these, you know, entrepreneurial techie nerds. So he likes the culture of L.A. and Venice Beach better than Silicon Valley. But I thought that was just an interesting story when you get into all of the nuances and everything else to it.
One final question, and not to get too far off track here. With Facebook and Google throwing around billions of dollars for something like this, are we headed for another tech crash? Are things getting overvalued again?
Well, see, Google and Facebook are making money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so Google is taken out of their cash reserves. And what these guys are really doing, they're basically buying up the competition. Anybody that has the potential of being a future competitor, they just overpay for them now so they won't have to deal with them later. So it's really a kind of a defensive strategy. I'd say it's a defensive strategy on Google's part. I think Facebook is struggling to get things which appeal to the younger group because they're losing their teens. And Facebook has kind of lost its luster.
Yeah.
It's like old school now.
Yeah, it's yesterday's news.
Yesterday's news, and so they're trying to jazz it up. So I think Facebook has got to make some real changes there. So there you go. Everything you want to know about Evan Spiegel, co-founder and CEO of Snapchat.
Hope you're paying attention because your chance to win a free prize, free food from the doc, coming up here on the Pop Quiz on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. More Tech Talk right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Technology is constantly changing. An effective IT manager must not only understand the possibilities and limitations of the technology, but also the requirements and constraints of the business world. Enhance your career today with a master's degree from Stratford University School of Computer Information Systems. Classes are offered day, evening, and weekends to match your busy schedule and are taught by experienced faculty members with industry experience. Earn your master's degree in as little as 15 months with an accelerated program in software engineering, information systems, information assurance, or telecommunications. Learn more about earning your master's degree from Stratford University at stratford.edu or call 1-800-444-0804. Disclose statements available at stratford.edu/disclosures. Stratford University, 1-800-444-0804.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
Welcome back. This is now officially the Classroom of the Airways
yes.
today. We started out as a radio show and we morph into Classroom of the Airways.
So you're giving into me a little bit here.
Yes,
so there is
I
both
am.
A radio show and a Classroom of the Airways.
So see, it starts out as a radio show with like the emails and then it mm-hmm. morphs into Classroom of the Airways as we go into the content.
I never thought of it that way.
See, it's kind of a, you know. Shape shifter, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So earlier in the show, we're talking about Evan Spiegel. He's co-founder and CEO of Snapchat. What was the name of the company before Snapchat? They changed it from one thing to another, and Snapchat's the current name. What was the original name for Snapchat? Now, if you get the correct answer to this pop quiz question, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room, and you'll get an A-plus for this class session. Now, you can reach us any number of ways, I'll let the professional tell you the official ways.
Well, I thank you, Dr. Schertz. If you're calling from west of the Pacific Palisades, it's 877-936-9333. From east of Venice Beach, California, it's 877-936-9333. The wild card line for everybody else across these United States and here in the Washington area is 877-936-9333. But wait, there's more.
There are other ways. If you happen to be circling the Earth in like the
Sputnik,
in the Sputnik,
no,
or no,
there.
in the Earth station, what is it? The space station,
right? Yeah,
the space station. You've got an internet connection. You can reach us using Skype. Simply connect to Tech Talk Radio 1, and you'll be directed to the studio free of charge because I'm trying to save every penny I can for NASA and the government.
And there's no cell phones in space because there's no cell towers up there, right?
There's no cell phones up there, so they're going to have to just connect with data through Skype.
Wow.
There
okay.
you go.
All right. Let's hit something real quick here.
We'll do something very quick. So let's talk about the dumbest idea of the week.
Yes.
The dumb idea of the week. Underwear for your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous. Now, this is only sold in Japan. For just 200 yen, you can buy underwear-shaped rubber band called Smart Pants, and it fits over the bottom of your iPhone. And they're even the Smart Pants are even sold in vending machines. You can just go to a vending machine and buy it. Now, this was discussed by a blog at the Japan Smart Culture blog. Now, many designs are available. You got the male version of Smart Pants and the female version.
This.
Yeah. And the purpose of Smart Pants is to protect the home button in case from being accidentally pushed. So you simply slip on the Smart Pants, and then your home button is protected. It works. It works well it works on Android phones as well as iPhones. And the company says, well, it just feels right to cover your home button, according to the company. I'm thinking this is the dumbest idea of the week.
It's stupid, and if you've seen them, they're gross. All right, let's go to line number one. We're talking to Carol, who is calling today from Silver Spring, Maryland. Carol, good morning, and how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Dr. Schertz, please ask the question again.
Yes, early in the show, we're talking about Evan Spiegel, co-founder and CEO of Snapchat. What was the name of Snapchat originally?
It was Peekaboo.
That is correct. You win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room, the Karim Dining Room. Stay on the line and give your name and address to Andrew.
Carol, thanks a million. Thanks for listening. And we appreciate you being with us here on Tech Talk Radio. And Andrew Mitchell, our adjunct professor for prize distribution and crowd control, will take over at this point. We are going to be right back in just a second with more Tech Talk here on Federal News Radio. 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Stand by. More Tech Talk. Gift ideas coming up here for Muscle and Tech Talk Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Budget analyst, a vice president of sales. These are today's business leaders, and a degree from Stratford University's Tyson's Corner or Woodbridge campus offers you a powerful path to navigate the corporate world. The School of Business Administration at Stratford University offers both bachelor's and master's degree programs for a real-world education. In fact, many of today's Stratford business grads are working in their chosen fields. Make it work for you. Get working. Check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu. It's time. Time to put your talents out there on your terms and set your own pay. If you are ready to be your own CEO, Stratford University's life-changing Master's in Entrepreneurial Management covers the skills to launch your business from writing a solid business plan to financing, branding, and marketing. Choose from our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge. Contact us today at stratford.edu. Stratford University. It's time to be more.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We're in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it's time to talk about Christmas gifts for techies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a few here. I'm not going to go through all these, but I've got a few things that I kind of like. The first one is Fitbit Force, which is it's a bracelet that you put on. It's for lifestyle tracking, as they say. It's $129, and it's a fitness and sleep tracker. So what it does, it tracks every step you make, the distance you've traveled, how many calories you burn. It monitors your sleeping pattern, updates on the quality of your sleep, and gently wakes you with a vibrating alarm. There was a guy in my 10X CEO group that had this. And, you know, when you sleep, sometimes you go into very deep sleep. It's not good to be waked. Like if the alarm goes off and you're in your deep sleep, it monitors your sleep. And when you come into a shallower sleep zone, it wakes you up when it's best to wake you up.
Oh, wow. So what if that means you're going to be late for something?
Well, there's probably a way so it doesn't go beyond a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be that you know, if you want to get up at, say, 7:30, but you're at this light zone at, say, 6:30, it'll wake you up just a little bit earlier while you're in the light zone, and then you feel so much more refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever notice sometimes you just wake up, you just feel so refreshed, and other times you can just hardly get up? It's because you're waking up in the middle of a deep sleep zone or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so a lot of people are actually using this Fitbit Force at Stratford, and they're tracking how many steps they do every day. It connects to their iPhone. I'm thinking it's a pretty good thing because it actually changes behavior.
So it connects to your iPhone, and then it's a bracelet that you wear. So you have to have your iPhone with you for this thing to work?
No, it records it.
Oh, so you can plug it in and just download
it. It records it. It records it. You could hook it up to a laptop, to any kind of Bluetooth device. It gives you the reporting. Now, we'll read out directly how many steps without any kind. So, like, you know, everybody says, well, they want to do 10,000 steps a day. So they get near the end of the day and they're at 9,000 steps. They just go out after dinner and just put in another 1,000 steps to get up to 10,000. I mean, I've actually seen it change behavior for people.
No.
So I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't look bad.
That's good.
So the second gift here is this pocket projector. It's a mobile device. It's a little digital device. It's a little projector. You can take it with it on travel. It costs $299 at Brookstone. The LED.
That's $299, folks.
Yeah, $299. Yeah. Well, it's cheaper than some of my other stuff. The LED lamp projects 85 lumens. It'll last about 2 hours on a single charge, but it comes with an AC adapter if you need more than that. It only weighs 5 pounds. It's got built-in speakers. So for you guys that are like PowerPoint junkies and you want to go out and make a presentation, you can carry this little 5-pound projector with you, and you can project it right on the wall.
Huh.
So it's just pretty. It's not bad for business people if you want to make a presentation in a small group. Now this I like. This one is only $11.99. This is Digits. Now these are fingertip-sized pins that you can add to the tip of your gloves. Have you ever wanted to answer the phone and you've got gloves on? You got to take off the gloves. These are little tips that you put on the fingertips of your gloves. You clipped on at the end, and then you can work your cell phone with your glove.
That's amazing.
So this is with Digits. You don't have to remove your gloves and expose your hands to the cold weather.
Hmm.
You just attach the Digits, which are a conductive fingertip-sized pin, to the gloves you already have. And so they show a pic. Each packet, which costs $11.99, comes with four. So usually you have two digits for each hand, because you know how you want to expand, or you know you need two digits if you want to make zoom in on something. So I thought that was pretty nice. This was invented by David Shy, a student in Chicago, who began sewing conductive thread into his gloves during the winter. And he says, you know, instead of just manually putting this conductive thread in my gloves, why don't I make something I can sell? For $11.99.
That's not a bad idea.
That's a great stocking stuffer,
it is.
I'll tell you.
Now I know what I'm getting you.
Now this, they've got this virtual keyboard, you know, because people have got, you know, you got these smart, you know, you carry around your laptop. Some people don't like to carry a, you know, a separate keyboard with them. Well, they have this little system here. It's on sale from Brookstone for $149. Looks like about the size of a mouse. You could connect it to your iPad or and you could use it for a mouse if you would want. But you stand it up and it projects. Using a red laser, it projects the keys onto the table, and you can just type those keys, and it will detect where your fingers are, and you can just have this virtual keyboard right with you. It weighs about 7 ounces, and, you know, it's kind of cute. I don't know if I'd buy it, but I thought it was kind of a cute idea. Then, of course, this could be the year to look at smartwatches. And smartwatches are all coming out, lots of them. Now, the first one that came out was crowdfunded, Pebble, P-E-B-B-L-E. And it's got this e-ink on it that very, very low power usage. It's very elegant, very simple. What Pebble did, they just gave you some very simple things, and they didn't overdo it. So it's got good battery life, and Pebble's around $150. So I think Pebble is well thought out. If I were going to buy something this year, I'd probably go with Pebble. Because some of them are so complicated, you don't really know whether it's useful or not. Martian came out. That's one of the newer ones that came out. Oh, Pebble's $150. Martian is $300. Now, the value of that, it's integrated with Google Plus and Siri.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's going to do, it's going to connect to the internet through your cell phone. But then you've got Google Plus and Siri, so like you can talk to it Dick Tracy style, and it will, you know, it'll work for you. Now, Samsung has come out with the Samsung Galaxy Gear for $300. I mean, it's just loaded with features. I don't think they've got clarity as to what you want to do with it yet. Sony smartwatch has got a lot of features. It's $200. Qualcomm Torque, T-O-Q, is $350. It came out. So I think I would either go with the Martian, which is pretty neatly integrated with Google and Siri, or with Pebble. And these other ones are kind of complicated, so I'd kind of wait. Now, more than likely, I'm not going to get a smartwatch for a couple of years, and then I'll get it all figured out.
You want the Apple one, right?
Yeah, I'd probably go with
now,
the Apple one.
Are any of these compatible with Apple?
Yeah, Pebble is. Martian is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're all a Bluetooth connection. Of course, Samsung is made specifically for all the Samsung phones.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and Qualcomm is going to... that one is just coming out now. I'm certain it's going to be available for both the iPhone devices as well as the Androids, because Qualcomm's trying to support both brands.
Gotcha.
So this will probably be the shakedown year. So if you want to wait next year, I think the features that are going to be on the smartwatches are going to be settling. We're going to know what's useful.
Okay.
But if you have somebody that just wants to get one this year, I'd consider either the Pebble for $150 or the Martian for $300. Then, of course, iPad is owning Christmas season. You've probably heard that.
Yeah, sure.
They're just owning it. And so the iPad mini is out. You want to get the Wi-Fi version, it's $299. You get the Wi-Fi plus cellular, it's $429. Now, those are the 15-gigabyte models. And I've got to say, the 16-gigabyte models, I've got a 16-gigabyte iPad, and really, once you put your pictures on it, sometimes it's not enough to upgrade the operating system, so
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I might get something. And the last one I'd want to talk about is Lego Mindstorms. I love this. This is a kit that contains software and hardware to create small, customizable programming robots. The latest system is Lego Mindstorm EV3. Or else, and that retails for $349. I love this for teaching kids how to program. Listen, we love all your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu and check out the Stratford website, stratford.edu, and say that you heard about us on Tech Talk.
If you tuned in late, would like to hear the show again, we will have a Tech Talk replay tomorrow at 2 o'clock on Federal News Radio. See you next week.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
And we've got hockey on the radio later on today, beginning at 7 o'clock, actually starting at 6 with the pregame. It's the Nashville Predators, their only trip to Washington this season to take on the Capitals. The weather forecast for today, cloudy, early, gradual clearing, highs low 40s, and then a winter storm warning tomorrow for mixed precipitation beginning later in the day. Right now it is 43 degrees at 10 o'clock.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News